Hi, this is Tony Finucane at Cover Magazine. I'm speaking to David Thompson, Senior Legal Advisor at Sunrun Trust. David, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Tony. Good day.
David, we're speaking about a very interesting topic and one that is specifically relevant at the moment, estate planning across geographies. Mm. And I think to start off with, you guys are Sunrun Trust and you work with estate planning, wills, etc. Maybe you can just tell us, first of all, where does a will fit in to estate planning across geographies?
Tony, a will is absolutely essential, and it's important we're talking about it this week because it is Wills Week, when many of the firms of attorneys and trust companies are drawing up wills for clients for no charge and talking about Wills Week. And it's a sad reality that most people don't have a will. So you can imagine the complications where someone not only has assets in South Africa but possibly has assets abroad, particularly in a country that doesn't share the same law as us, and particularly where the authorities may even speak a different language. So I think if you're looking at estate planning as ordering your affairs so that once you've passed on, your family is in a position to smoothly take over where you left off without too much drama, I think if you don't have a will, it does create a rather chaotic situation. Yes, we do have quite a well-developed law of intestate succession in South Africa, where generally speaking it would mean that your family would inherit, but that's not always, of course, what you want. But it doesn't follow that the same laws apply internationally. And I think it's important then that rather than leaving things to chance, have a last will and testament that's not only valid in South Africa, but also valid in the foreign country where you have assets, so that you can have certainty that your wishes will be carried out.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, definitely, you know, I think the starting point, and probably because, I mean, there aren't expertise within every financial planner with regards to all the different countries that could be involved here. Where do you start when you, especially if you're a financial planner and you need to broach the subject with your client, where do you start?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, when you get to know your client and you discuss with them, you know, their marital regime, how they're married, if they are married, what is their family situation, you want to get to know a lot of that information about the client. And then you start going into the realm of once you have the client's trust, you know, going into the realm of asking them about their assets and liabilities and saying to them it's important as a financial planner that you are aware of the assets and liabilities owned by the two of them, if there's a relationship, either married or two folks are living together, and that it is important also to know where those assets are. So as a financial planner, you would like to get as much information as you can about the client. And then when it comes to a will, which really is a cornerstone of estate plan, because let's face it, if you draw up an estate plan and you plan for certain things, you want to put that plan into action. And one of the things that can help you take action is to draft a will. Another one might well be to set up a trust or something like that. But, you know, I would say the first thing is this is how we planned your affairs should pan out if you were to pass away unexpectedly, or... And this is how we're going to action in terms of the will. Now, of course, a South African resident, when it comes to his estate, that estate includes his worldwide assets. So it's perfectly clear that a valid will in South Africa would, generally speaking, be valid wherever the asset might be in the world. So what we're saying, there are different opinions. I see some people say that one will is fine. Other people say that experts, including one of the speakers that we had at the recent FISA conference, I think, you know, Oliver Phipps, and we work quite closely with him, is that it is a good idea to have a will for your offshore assets, simply from a practical point of view. So I think try and establish from your client, where is that asset? Is it owned by you? If it's something simple like an asset swap, unit trust, or a life insurance policy, really, strictly speaking, those assets are controlled from South Africa, particularly if the life insurance company is domiciled in South Africa. You don't really have an offshore asset as such. But if it is a true offshore asset like fixed property overseas or shares in a company overseas, a company that's not dual listed, say in South Africa, it's an asset that you acquired with foreign exchange where you went through the process to get permission from the receiver and the reserve bank to remit monies offshore, and you buy that stuff offshore, then you actually have an asset in a different country. And then you've got to consider, is it practical for my local executor to actually attend to the winding up of that asset, or would it be preferable to have a separate will in that particular jurisdiction? And then you're going to look at, is that jurisdiction very strange or very different to South Africa, or is the law similar? And the more different it is in terms of language, time zones, those types of things, that particular country might also have forced succession, where, notwithstanding what your South African will might say, they may have a law that says 50% of your estate has to go to your spouse, for example, or has to go to relatives. Then you've got to be careful and say, well, maybe I need to make the effort to consult with an expert in that jurisdiction and have a separate will in that particular country, particularly where you're talking about an asset of a substantial, you know, amount of money. I think it would be worth then to actually spend the extra funds and to engage. Now, how does your South African financial planner sit in that? Well, I think there the financial planner can still play an important role and assist you to get in touch with possibly a certified financial planner professional in that foreign jurisdiction, who can then assist you with your fiduciary needs.
Mm-hmm. And Sanlam Trust, I mean, obviously you play a role there as well.
We are essentially the factory when it comes to fiduciary. We really stick to drawing up of wills, winding up estates, managing and setting up trusts, and managing umbrella trusts and beneficiary funds. When it comes to the actual giving of financial planning advice, that's where the financial planner, the intermediary, whether you call him a tied agent or a non-tied agent, that's where he or she must play a role. We don't step into the realm of saying to the client, well, we advise you to do this and that. Obviously, Sanlam, as a company as a whole, has many financial planners and, of course, has a relationship with independent financial planners. So where we would play a role is to point the person in the right direction. As I said, we do have relations with companies and with associates that can assist us with offshore estates, for example, as one that I've mentioned. But when it comes to actually giving the advice, that's where we would prefer that your financial planner professional should actually get involved. They, obviously, if they need assistance from us, we'll gladly give that assistance where we can.
Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. David, thank you very much for those comments. I think certainly something that every financial planner should make sure that they are up to scratch with how that works, because a lot of people during this time is making sure that they've got assets in other areas, other countries, across geographies. Yeah, brilliant. David, thank you very much for your time.
No, that's a pleasure, Tony.
Thanks,
Tony.
Enjoy your week.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. Pleasure.
Yeah, bye-bye.